Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said,
"Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He said,
"Go into this city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'"
The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at a table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me."
Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after the other,
"Surely it is not I, Lord."
He said in reply,
"He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply,
"Surely it is not I, Rabbi."
And he answered,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and giving it to the disciples, said,
"Take and eat. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you from now on, I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you, new in the kingdom of my Father."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"This night all of you will have your faith in me shaken, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him in reply,
"Though all may have their faith in you shaken, mine will never be."
Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
And Peter said to him,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And all the disciples spoke likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took along Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me."
He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will."
When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. And he said to Peter,
"So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again,
"My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, your will be done."
Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand."
And while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and the elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying,
"The man I shall shall kiss is the one. Arrest him.
Immediately he went over to Jesus and said,
Hail, Rabbi.
And he kissed him. And Jesus answered him,
Friend, do what you have come for.
Then, stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
Put your sword back into its sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father? He will not provide me at this moment with more than 12 legions of angels. But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must come to pass in this way?
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I sat teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled.
Then all the disciples left him and fled. And those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance as far as the high priest's courtyard, and going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and stated,
This man said, I can destroy the temple of God, and within 3 days rebuild it.
The high priest rose and addressed him.
Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
I order you to tell us under the oath before the living God whether you are the Christ, the Son of God.
Jesus said to him in reply,
You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
He is blasphemous. What further need have we of witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?
They said in reply,
He deserves to die.
Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying, Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said, But he denied it in front of everyone, saying,
I do not know what you are talking about.
And as he went into the gate, another girl said to him and to those who were there,
This man was with Jesus of Nazarene.
Again, he denied it with an oath.
I do not know the man.
A little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter,
Surely.
At that, he began to curse and to swear,
I do not know the man.
And immediately, a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying,
I have sinned in betraying innocent blood.
And they said,
What is that to us? Look unto it yourself.
Flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priest gathered up the money, but said,
It is not lawful to deposit this in the temple treasury, for it is the price of blood.
After consultation, They used it to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. This is why that field, even today, is called the Field of Blood. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. And they took 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and he questioned him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
And Jesus said,
"You say so."
And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?"
But he did not answer one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them,
"Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?"
For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply,
"Which of the two do you want me to release to you?"
And they answered,
"Barabbas."
And Pilate said to them,
"Then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?"
They all said,
"Let him be crucified."
But he said,
"Has he done?"
They only shouted the louder,
"Let him be crucified."
And when Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying,
"I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to yourselves."
And the whole people said in reply,
"His blood be upon us."
Then he released Barabbas to them, but after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews."
They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charges against him. "This is the King of the Jews." "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. And those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads, saying,
"You who would not destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down."
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him and said,
"He saved others, he cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe him. If you trust in God, he will let him deliver him now, if he wants him. For it was said, 'I am the Son of God.'"
The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,"
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"This one is calling for Elijah."
Immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save him."
But Jesus cried out in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who have fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said,
"Truly, this was the Son of God."
There were many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in a clean linen and laid it in his new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance to the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there facing the tomb. The next day, the one following the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember that this impostor, while still alive, said, 'After 3 days I will be raised up.' Give orders then that the grave be secured until the third day.
Pilate said to them,
"The guard is yours. Go, secure it as best you can."
So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and setting the guard. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Highlight in the person of Jesus in this gospel of Matthew's account of his suffering and death, just to notice what Jesus is doing and what Jesus isn't doing as an important instruction for us who walk also in a world that will seek our spiritual death and a world which we do spiritual battle against. This is what Jesus is doing here. He's waging a war. And so
What I notice in this account is to just watch how Jesus speaks and kind of saying, all right, what is he doing and what is he not doing? And when we listen, I see three things. When Jesus is speaking in this gospel, he's praying, or he's instructing, or he's giving testimony. The one thing that he's not doing is conversing at all with evil or lies. And you notice from this account, Matthew's account, that he's very intentional and knows very much that he's in control of everything that's happening. The time has come. Stay awake. My betrayer is at hand. He knows, right? And to all of the lies that are suggested to him and all of the liars that present themselves to him, he either remains silent or he just says, whatever you say, you said so. He lets the world lie. He doesn't say, no, that's a lie. He knows that that is going to sort of bear its own consequences and he's just not going to have a part in it. So he uses his choices and his energies very wisely. He keeps himself in communion with his Father. Lord, if this cup cannot pass, your will be done. He prays from the Psalms, right? The opening of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's a psalm of lament. He was praying the prayers of King David. He's instructing the apostles, and he's instructing even the crowds in admonition, saying to the apostles, this is what will happen. You will scatter. This is what will happen. One of you will betray me. This is what will happen. He admonishes them, if this is what will happen. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. And to those who accuse him falsely, he has nothing to say but his own testimony. He doesn't defend himself. He just says, my time has come. And what you will see from here forward is the power of the Son of Man at the right hand of God, who will come in glory on the clouds of heaven, knowing full well what the consequences of these words will mean. He is not at all afraid to say the truth to those who are not going to believe him. And that is the wisdom of, right, his words, the wisdom of his choice. When you and I receive the grace of Jesus and we open our hearts this week, right, this holy week, this is the week where we commemorate the very mysteries that are the cause of our salvation and that instruct us about how we go from death to life, how we successfully do the battle that Jesus did. You heard it a little bit there in that first reading, if you remember, way, way back, 15 minutes ago, you know? Said, the Lord has given me a well-trained tongue that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. And Isaiah says, and the Lord has opened my ear that I may hear. I haven't rebelled against this. I haven't turned my back, but rather I give my back to those who are against me, right? To those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pluck my beard, my face I did not shield from puppets and spitting, for the Lord is my help. Therefore I am not disgraced, but I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. Yeah, that's an incredible word, an incredible prophetic word that belongs to Jesus in his passion, because he's kind of fulfilling that word. But it's a word of the prophet that then also is given over to each of us. That we don't shield ourselves necessarily from the buffets, the lies, the accusations of the world. We just know, I'm not here to converse with you about that. I'm here to pray. I'm here to instruct. Right? I'm here to give testimony. That is how I win the battle. And that is how Jesus teaches us as well in this week, in this Lenten season. You know, as we're growing, I don't know how your Lent has gone so far. Mine, it's been hard. I don't know. It feels unusually hard this year. I feel unusually weak this year, you know? I don't know. I feel like unusually exposed, just needing to realize more and more what the power of Christ actually is and how powerless I am without it. And what does Jesus give me the power to do? If I'm to act as a Christian, if I'm to act as a believer, what will come out of my mouth? Not conversation or compromise with what is evil in the world. Not even the need to feel the disgrace, quote-unquote, of the world. Or the shame, quote-unquote, of the world. Because I know the one to whom I give an account, which is not the world. Not to history. But to the Almighty Father. And instead, I know what is effective. I know what brings salvation to the soul. Just as the Lord Jesus tonight gives this example. So I would just encourage us, maybe to give ourselves the perspective of the week, that we walk into. For this week, maybe consider each day very specifically. How I will pray today, how my words will instruct in truth and in goodness today, and how my words will give testimony about my identity, about who I am in Christ today. That will win lots of battles. The battles that we face, we're going to face this week, that we're going to face next week, that we faced last week, that we've been facing since Ash Wednesday. All this type of life, you know, that is a race being run. That is not for the faint of heart, but that we would continue to be trained, you know, with a well-trained tongue to speak the words of life to a world that is weary and to human hearts that are otherwise wearied in the darkness and the shadows. So we ourselves begin that always by being fed. So today we're being fed the words of wisdom in Holy Scripture. We're being fed the divine life of our Lord himself, whose sacrifice we meet in the present moment that was offered for us 2,000 years ago. It's coming to make itself present to us tonight, just like it does every time we come to Mass. So we don't, this week, let's pray very hard that we not let the moment pass us by, but let's pray hard. Let's speak truth and goodness hard. Let's give testimony hard this week. And let's not worry about what threats the world makes against us. Let's just be true to Jesus. Faith with one voice we pray. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified on Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.